This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's Joe McKinnon.
Good morning. Great to have you along for Talking Horses this week. On this edition of the show, we discuss some great news for Living Legends, which this week got a huge funding boost from the VRC that will help assure its future. This comes in the wake of a major tourism award they won recently. Andrew Clark from Living Legends will join us as a special guest a bit later. We'll also talk with Seamus Mills on our regular Insider Insights segment. Topics this week will include recent international horse sales that he's visited and how they impact on us back home. Swettenham Stud's Adam Sangster will also join us for a chat about the relaunch of the Collingrove brand. More on that later. But now let's take you to Yarraman Park Stud in the Hunter Valley, where Harry Mitchell is standing by as our first guest on the program.
This podcast is brought to you by rsn.net.au.
Good morning, Harry. How are you?
I'm well, Joe.
How are conditions up there in the drought-stricken Hunter Valley?
Oh, yeah, pretty bad. It's very, very dry, obviously, as everyone knows, and, very difficult for a lot of people. But I must say, we seem to be coping pretty well. You know, you sort of get used to it and you've got the right feed and things. So for us, yes, it's challenging, but certainly wouldn't know it looking at the horses.
For our listeners that don't quite understand horse management practices, particularly in this type of climate, so how much do you actually have to change a lot of your processes to compensate?
Well, not a huge amount. I think you don't really change the grain content or the nuts or the hard feed you feed them, but you have to give them much more roughage because there's not as much roughage in the paddocks. So, you know, obviously a lot of extra hay. We've been using oat hay and putting these large oat bay hails in the paddocks, and the horses can go and eat whenever they like. And that's been incredibly successful.
Okay. And how are they appearing to your eye compared to sort of past drafts that you're preparing for the yearling sales?
Oh, I think this draft, Magic Million Sales draft, is probably as good as we've had. It's certainly one of the most even drafts we've had. You know, it's a very good draft. The horses look fantastic, Joe. I mean, horses love dry weather, and they've certainly got that. But, you know, they look very, very well.
That's good news. And what would you anticipate are going to be some of the likely highlight lots in your Magic Millions draft in particular?
The Full Sisters of Hootson out of Set to Unleash is a magnificent-looking filly. So she's obviously, I think, going to be one of the star fillies. In the Colts, we've got a couple of smashing Hincham Brooks, and we've got an I'm Invincible Tie Tie Test. But we've got a very strong draft across the board. There's lots of very nice horses.
Okay. And Matt Scown, news this week, will be returning to join your management team?
Yeah, it's exciting. Matt was here a few years ago, and he went off and did some work in racing and at Inglis, and he wants to move back to the country, and we're delighted to have him. You know, he's a great guy and brings a lot of enthusiasm and drive, and we're really looking forward to having him back, actually.
It's a people business, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, we pride ourselves on, like, having good people working with us, and, you know, and he certainly fits the bill. He's a hard worker. He knows his stuff. And, he's very good with people, so we're looking forward to him sort of being part of the management team. He can help with the sales and running the farm and all those sorts of things.
And he joins at a very exciting time, obviously, with I Am Invincible continuing to go from strength to strength. Your headline stallion continues to break records on both the racetrack and in the sales ring.
Yeah, no, look, he's an incredible stallion, Joe. We were very lucky to have him. And, he certainly doesn't go backwards. Look, he's very exciting for the farm. I mean, when you've got a draft of 30 horses and 15 of them by him, it makes your life a bit easier. But, it is a great time for the farm, and may it long continue. And we're sort of looking to the future with Hellbent now, and we've got some foals by him that we're delighted with. He's a horse we like a lot, and he's bay dominant like his father and grandfather, and they're very, they're all similar types, you know, which is what I'm Invincible does. He dominates his mares, so I think Hellbent's the same.
Yeah, the first of the Hellbent weanlings will grace the sales rings in 2020. And from what I've seen, you've posted some great social media content on his young stock. They do look like lovely horses.
Yeah, they're race horses. They're very well balanced. They're not too heavy. They're very good legged horses. We're excited with him. We think he's probably had the best opportunity of any horse at his fee. You know, he had an unbelievable book of mares, and this year he's had just as good a book of mares. He gets a lot of the sort of backwash from I'm Invincible. So he's covered a hell of a lot of stakes winning mares, which is, very important with a young horse, is that you've got a bit of depth in the quality of your mares. Also, he's got a very good shareholder base. Hellbent, and the shareholders have supported him very, very well.
Well, that's good news. And Hinchinbrook, sadly, a stallion that you lost in recent times from the roster, and the last of his yearlings will be going through the sales next year, and that comes off the back of more success on the racetrack for him as recently as last weekend at the Hong Kong International meeting with his son Beat the Clock winning.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Look, we were devastated when we lost Hinchinbrook, and this is the last crop of yearlings we have, and I will say they're a very good crop. I mean, two of our best colts in the sale are by Hinchinbrook, going to Magics, and we have Hinchinbrooks in all the other sales as well, in the classic Melbourne Easter. So, look, it was very, very satisfying with Beat the Clock. He was bred by a good friend of ours in Dilly Henderson, and we sold through our draft. Yeah, then my brother ended up buying him for a client. So it's been a great story, but what a horse he is.
Yeah, and beat a crack field there, including Athero.
Yeah, he did. He did. I mean, everyone thought Athero was a certainty, but there's no certainties in racing. But I think Beat the Clock's just got a great temperament and a great desire to win, and I think that sort of carries him a long way.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Harry. Good luck with the continuation of the preparations for the yearling sales, and you and the family have a lovely Christmas.
Same to you, Joe. Thanks very much.
The results that matter. The Talking Horses Racing Run-Through.
Racing at Flemington yesterday, and we opened the program with a handicap over 1,100 metres, won by Conceited, a two-year-old colt by Brazen Bow out of a Dane Rich mare, Classy Chloe. Conceited has a half relation going through the Inglis Melbourne Premier yearling sale next year. Conceited was sold at the Magic Millions on the Gold Coast earlier this year for $625,000. Race 2 at Flemington was a benchmark 84 over 1,100 metres, won by Colin Little's Our Campana, a four-year-old daughter of Bella Spree out of a More Than Ready mare, Bell's Ready. Our Campana was sold at the 2017 edition of the Inglis Premier yearling sales for $50,000. The third event at headquarters yesterday was a benchmark 70 over 1,720 metres. The winner was Living the Dream for Mitch Friedman, a four-year-old entire by Artie Schiller out of a Fusaichi Pegasus mare Dream Winner. Living the Dream is related to winner Artie's Dream Winner. The fourth event, a benchmark 70 over 1,400 metres, was won by Wings of Pastrami, a three-year-old filly by Supreme Class out of a Dubai destination mare Persian Palace. Wings of Pastrami is related to winners Dastan and Persian Honey. The Living Legends Trophy over 1,100 metres, won by Hal Vorson, a four-year-old gelding by Magnus, out of a Not a Single Doubt mare Flourishing. Halverson is trained by Robbie Griffiths, and isn't it great to see him back on track after his health issues of late? Halverson is related to a winner, Triumph. The sixth event on the card, a benchmark 84 over 1,800 metres. Ryan's Fender was successful, a five-year-old gelding by Helmet out of a Lonro mare, Classic Guitar. Ryan's Fender is related to winner Hanneker and also Zither. The next race on the program, race 7, a benchmark 70 over 2,530 metres. The winner was Defibrillate from the Pat Payne team, a five-year-old gelding by Melbourne Cup winner Shocking out of a groom dancer mare, Our Chickaroonie. Defibrillate is related to winners Italian Princess, Love Shock and Rush and Prince. The next event was a benchmark 70 over 1,200 metres. That winner was Radical Candor, another winner for Matt Kamani at Flemington yesterday. Radical Candor is a four-year-old mare by Artie Schiller out of a Desert King mare, Chloe Karashan. And the ninth and final race at Flemington yesterday was a benchmark 84 over 1,400 metres. Bumper Blast was successful, a four-year-old gelding by Ocean Park out of a More Than Ready mare, Buckleberg.
The Talking Horses, winner of the week.
All already blessed and Dubai Star come up the rise together with Wild Ruler going to third, then Spirituality down to the 200. Wild Ruler's going after them quickly. He sprints now, takes the lead from Dubai Star. Then came Spirituality and Countable the outside, but Wild Ruler in front of Incountable going to a clear second, but Wild Ruler wins the nursery by a length to Incountable. Canadian Spice got through for third in front of Spirituality, then Sunborn deep out.
Wild Ruler lived up to heady expectations yesterday, winning the $500,000 Inglis Nursery at Randwick. The Son of Snitzel had been impressive in winning two barrier trials in the lead-up. Trained by Peter and Paul Snowden, he has a very bright future ahead of him, there is no doubt. With his runaway win yesterday against a class field under the riding of Kieran McAvoy. Wild Ruler was purchased by the China Horse Club and Newgate Bloodstock Windstar Syndicate for $525,000 out of the Kia Aura stud draft at the 2019 Inglis Australian Easter Yearling Sales. He's the third foal and second winner out of the smart race mare Gypsy Robin, whose second foal Uluru by Fastnet Rock broke his maiden at his most recent start at Pakenham. Her first foal, Caravan, assisted a Wild Ruler, placed in three of her four starts after being purchased at the Inglis July monthly online sale for just $35,000. An imported daughter of the awesome again stallion Daha, Gypsy Robin won six races from 12 starts in the US, including a pair of Grade 2 stakes wins, and was runner-up in the Grade 1 test stakes at Saratoga. Gypsy Robin does not have a yearling this year, but she foaled a filly by the Triple Crown hero American Pharaoh on the 24th of September. Wild Ruler is Snitzel's 94th stakes winner and his third winner of the race after Chance By and Odyssey Moon also won the nursery.
Now on Talking Horses Insider Insights.
Good morning, Seamus. Where have your travels taken you lately?
Just back from the Arcana sale in France, which is my favourite way to end the year, Joe.
And how did the results end up there?
Like most of the European sales and Northern Hemisphere sales, in total was very strong. There was a good few Australians there. Dan Hawthorne bought a very nice mare by Galileo and foaled a No Nay Never for Jonathan Munns. That was the sort of highlight of the Australian purchases, but certainly some other farms bought as well. There was probably five or six bought by Australians to come back home, but quite a difficult sale there. The European and the Northern Hemisphere market in general has been very strong.
How does that Australian activity compare to, say, past years?
A little bit down. Certainly, from a personal point of view, I have certainly purchased more horses in the past in America, more in France. Went to the sales this year with more orders and unable to fill them. Talking to the other guys over there as well, pretty similar sort of feeling. Sun's started normally fairly active. Found it tougher to get in the market this year. I would say that, with the dollar as well as the strength of their market, I would say the Australian spend would be well down.
Is that just because it's been so hard to get the horses and compete with the European money?
It has, yeah, absolutely. Look, both the American and European markets now seem to be as strong as what I have seen them. But I think it's a worldwide trend that it's at the quality sort of end of the market, that it's really difficult. The commercial stock is hard to get. So either attractive pedigrees or you sort of young, well-credentialed mares. I suppose most of the stuff that that we would be looking for still fits in that commercial sort of end of the market, and I think that's a worldwide trend that it's that the top end's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, with the European and Americans, the economy's probably going reasonably well. Yeah, it has been very difficult.
So does that then potentially make it tough for our domestic buyers come the yearling sales that start here in Australia only in a matter of weeks? So no doubt the sales companies, both Inglis and Magic Millions, will be working hard to attract a good international buying bench, and they'll have the firepower when it comes to bidding, I guess.
Yeah, look, I think the ones that come out, you know, look, I agree with you. Both companies and Oz Horse, I'm sure, will be looking to get as many internationals on the plane as possible. I hope they do. You know, I think it'd be narrow-minded to not want them here. I think, as you know, for everybody, the wheel turns better when the market's strong. I hope plenty of them get on the plane. They always do a very good job, all three organisations, of getting as many people here as possible. And, yeah, look, if they do arrive here in numbers, it definitely will make it tougher for the local market. I think a lot of people, talking to them overseas, find the Australian market really a bit of a promised land. And certainly whenever you go somewhere, even when you go on holiday, don't you? When you go on holiday and your dollar's strong, you're up on your toes a little bit.
And Magic Millions is just around the corner. What's your view on the quality of stock in the book this year or next year and those that you've seen on farm?
Yeah, look, very, very good, to be honest. They do a sensational job putting together a type catalogue. There's when you flick through the book, there's plenty of good pedigrees, but there's also plenty of horses in there that just stand out on type and end up making race horses. You know, they're very good at putting that sort of catalogue together. And the other thing about it is that is clever is they put together a catalogue that spans all just they're almost put in a really nice $100,000 horse, $60,000 horse, at the expense of sort of just having everything top end. So it's a bit of a catalogue for everyone, I guess, is how I'll describe it. And from what I've seen so far in the early inspections, there's plenty of nice horses.
And we're getting some perspective already on the two-year-old Magic Millions in particular after yesterday's racing and other major two-year-old races earlier in the year. Wild Ruler, a horse that won the Inglis Nursery yesterday. What were your impressions of his win? I thought he looked good.
Yeah, he's a really, really nice horse. Congrats to Newgate and the sort of stallion syndicate they put together. He's a really, really nice horse. He's one I've followed through his early trials. He actually had his last trial the morning of a close relation going through the Keeneland sale. He himself is out of a mare purchased at Keeneland for $750,000. They got back a good percentage of that spend, $525,000 for Wild Ruler. Look, the mare looks like she's off and running. She's got an American Pharaoh on the ground, back in fold to American Pharaoh. So, $750,000 for an Australian, in US dollars for an Australian is a big purchase for Cura. Looks like it's paid dividends with that horse. He's a really exciting horse for the future, I would say.
And in some bloodstock news this week, Adam Sangster from Swettenham, who will join us on the show this morning, brought us up to speed with the fact that the Collingrove brand is going to relaunch into the marketplace come March at the Inglis Premier Yearling Sales.
Yeah, look, I was flipping through the catalogue and saw Collingrove, and I actually thought at the time that some cheeky bugger had gone and stole the name. I was dive for the catalogue to see what horses were in the draft and where the tie-up was. But, obviously the name's been revived. It's a quite a common thing certainly not common in Australia, but quite common in America, certainly for consignments to have a different name to the stud farm itself or to the farm itself. So, it's quite a common thing in the Northern Hemisphere to sort of have a consignment name separate to your farm, but it's great to see the Collingrove name back out there. Looking forward to see the draft.
And a sad outcome in Hong Kong this week with news of the passing of the VRC Derby winner Extra Brute in a horse walker accident.
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, you can do everything, I suppose, in the world. That is one thing about horses in general, not just thoroughbreds. You know, obviously I have plenty of friends involved in all sorts of sport horse activities, and yeah, the freak accidents can occur anywhere, can't they? You know, we've even seen it with stallions, I guess, who get the absolute best attention any horse in the world could want, and unfortunately, freak accidents do happen. And there's a sad note for the week. Also, I'd like to just mention a sad note for the week that the horse, I suppose, had to. You know, that he just arrived there and, you know, really hadn't had a chance to shine. His first up run was very, very good and, didn't quite get the chance to really show. I think he obviously settled in well, and I think that's the main thing when you go to Hong Kong is showing you've acclimatised and look like he's done that. So it's a great shine.
It certainly is. They're precious commodities, aren't they, these horses? And it's not the first time we've heard of an accident on a horse walking machine in Hong Kong, with Michael Friedman enduring an incident a few years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. He, you think they're fairly safe machines and so on. And I guess generally, you know, I mean, they're thousands and thousands and thousands of horses on them every day. But as I said, you know, you can be tucked up in a paddock at home, and it's still an accident can still happen. So yeah, it's certainly sad news, because I think the horse was looking for a bright future there. It looked like it settled him well, and his first up run was excellent. So yeah, it's a great shame.
All right, Seamus, thanks for joining us this morning on the program. God, can you believe Christmas is just around the corner? Where's the year gone?
I can't believe it, to be honest. Whilst I'm looking forward to getting up to Magic Millions, I've got to say the idea of packing the bag again and off we go. It's obviously a long sales series for those who do it through the Classic and New Zealand and everywhere is amazing to think it's just around the corner again. And Joe, if I could just mention Les Young's passing during the week, one of the real gentlemen of racing, brilliant. Agent in his own right, certainly one of the stalwarts of the bloodstock world, his passing during the weekend, memorial service up there in Sydney during the week. I'd just like to give a little tribute to him as well.
And also Tony Kavanagh, Seamus, well-known bloodstock person, certainly in Victoria, has also been enduring some bad health of late, but the good news is that he is on the road to recovery. A great friend of mine and the Talking Horses program, Tony Kavanagh.
Yeah, lovely guy. A lovely guy. One of the first people, certainly in the bloodstock world, to give me some advice and to sort of give me his time. So yeah, absolutely. Total best wishes. I endorse that for sure.
Seamus, thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to catching up with you next Sunday.
Take care, Joe.
Big news in Victorian breeding this week, with Swettenham Stud's Adam Sangster announcing a return to tradition, that of Collingrove. They'll relaunch into the bloodstock marketplace in March next year at the English Premier Yearling Sales at Oaklands. Adam Sangster is a special guest with us now on Talking Horses. Morning, Adam.
Morning, Joe. Morning to your listeners.
Well, this is all very exciting.
It is indeed. I mean, I've got to say that, we certainly have been looking over the last few years just to find the right gentleman or right person, lady, to take on the Swettenham Yearlings, because really the intensity of the yearling preparation and sort of crossing over with the end of the season here at Swettenham, where we have a very intense breeding season throughout. And of course the English's Premier Yearlings come in this week. And so really our facility, I mean, basically has done in the past here at Swettenham in Ngambi, has done some yearling preparation and very successfully. But I just, you know, I care for my staff and care for the welfare and of the people who work for me, and just cross over. And I just feel that, it's just a, it's a very, it's a very sort of a, how should I put it, as use that word again, it is a very intense sort of a time and very highly stressful for these guys and girls to cross over, and we do like doing that. So I've really looked for a person, and Daniel Brash has come to us through Jason, and he is taking this, his separate business as Colin Grove, but we're giving him the head start by using the name Colin Grove, and he's going to operate out of Michael Christian and Siobhan Christian's Longwood property, which used to be the old Brian Gary's property up at Longwood, and he'll sort of prepare the 24 yearlings there, of which the majority of them will be my own and also clients of Swetnam, and of course Daniel will have his own clients as well. So it just separates it along, and what we found, Joe, is we found this year when we didn't have a draft, and also the fact is that you know, we used to entertain significantly at English Premier with a great marquee, and we just you know, English has done a great job in upgrading the facilities there, and my gosh, they're good, and it proved it this year that people do really enjoy that and enjoy the entertainment. So what it does, it takes myself and my staff to, and especially my operating staff in Jason and Sam and Dr. John Hurley, to actually go out basically onto the site, English's site, and if it's English's or Magic Millions or Adelaide or up in Sydney, to actually go and really sort of help our clients who come to us with their broodmares, and they've basically got yearlings to sell, if they're by Toronado or Prisons de Lune or obviously Tustin August or Akeed Mafeed. It just gives us a chance to get round, chat to our main clients and really assess their stock and try and help them sell. So it sort of gives us it's an arm's length business, but it is very much Daniel's business.
Mm. And the name Colin Grove itself is iconic in many ways, Adam, and does certainly bring up some great memories for people in the thoroughbred breeding and racing industry. Of course, Colin Grove was established by your late father, Robert Sangster, and the late Colin Hayes, and they stood champion foundation sire Rory's Jester, along with Bluebird, Scenic, Dane Hill Dancer, Jern, Dash with Cash and B and Coney, to name a few.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's, we had the operation up in the Hunter Valley where we basically bought the Hunter Valley property in Denman with Rory's Jester. We had to buy the property at the same time as buying the stallion. It was Syrian Vanyan who sold us it in around about sort of 87. And subsequently, since then, with the introduction of Vobis in 1994, obviously Rory's Jester was an ideal stallion to take part in those early 2-year-old and 3-year-old races for there. So we moved our operation into the sort of into Ngambi. I mean, the late Bill Stutt helped us out on, and so did Barry Griffiths, helped us out on finding this property. And basically, we were told that go north of the divide on a river, which I'm looking at the moment, the Goulburn River, and next door to a very good winery, which was Mitchelton Winery and Chateau de Bilk. So it worked out very well. We shifted our operations down here, and then when Mr. Hayes passed away, we purchased 100% Colin Grove from the Hunter Valley, and then when David came back from Hong Kong, he wasn't into breeding, and he was sort of looking at his training operation, and that's when I purchased his share of Colin Grove, and then subsequently, 6 months later, we changed it into the Sangster family name of Swetnam Stud.
Yeah.
So it is, and I just used the name again. And it's a sort of a bit of a stand-up start, Joe. So for Dan, he's very excited. He's got great experience, and you know, we're fully behind him, and we can help as well with coming onto his property, helping him with the yearlings, and you know, the launch pad is English Premier, and to go on from there, we'll be in other sales in the coming years.
And you mentioned Dan's experience; it goes across over 25 years in the industry. And interestingly, he has worked with some of the biggest racing stables in the country, for the likes of Lee Friedman and Gay Waterhouse and Gerald Ryan, and also been a foreman for Greg Urell in Victoria.
That's right, and Dan has done a good job here. During this season, he's been here at Swetnam on site, working with my team here, and so we got to know Dan pretty well during this course of this very busy season. So he's moving off site on Monday, and tomorrow, and the horses, the yearlings come across to him across there. So it's watched him, and he's got to know our staff and Jason and Sam and myself, and he feels very comfortable to move forward. And I think it's great, and it's I really sort of commend him that he's branching out on his own with his own business.
On the stallion side of the business, Adam, under the Swetnam banner, how have things been this covering season? Are you happy with how all the stallions performed in the barn? And in particular, what's the latest with Akeed Mafeed, who's been a recent addition to the roster?
Yes, he's been a really good stallion to add to the roster. He's been very, very, very popular. And I've got to say, his yearling sold this year particularly well. They averaged 100,000, and Mr. Pan sort of put them into the market commercially for the first time. But we've had Prechance de Lune has been a magnificent sort of success story for Victoria and for Australian breeding. He went from a standing start in October of having 40 mares booked into him, and then when he won the Edward Manifold with Manhattan Moon, basically he went to 140, 150 mares. So I saw him cover this morning at 6, so he's still busy, and Toronado is leaving on Tuesday, and he'll arguably be one of the most when the figures come out, he'll probably be one of the busiest stallions that have been in Victoria. So he's been very well received, and we've been pretty lucky with him. I'm very happy there. And of course, Highland Wheel, his foals are gone. I've just come back from Tattersalls and seen some foals sell there and at Goss in Ireland, and the market's come to them, and they look the lovely sort of athletic types, look like him. And, he served 100 men his second season in the Northern Hemisphere, and this season, in his second season here, he served 98. So just shows that there is a very large thirst for that type of stallion, and especially, his bloodlines and his race record. So we've been very happy there.
And now putting your Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria hat on, Adam, to wrap up. It's been a busy time on a number of fronts for that organisation, both state-based but also on the national sort of side of things in terms of dealing with the issue of welfare in horse racing and breeding at the moment. Where do you feel things are at there?
Well, Joe, we had a TBA board meeting in Sydney on Thursday last, and we're just putting together something which Tom Riley will announce a independent task force, I'm sure, very soon, with some participants which cross all boundaries, including the RSPCA and others. And I think that'll be very exciting to really counter what's happened. But certainly, it is on everybody's mind, and welfare is the most important aspect of it. If it's not just the animals, but also with the staff as well. So there are things which are very, very, very prominent, just about to come out. So it's onwards and upwards.
I have to say, the breeding side of the industry has really stepped up to the plate on this issue.
It has, and it's never not really sort of a. It's always been something which, of course, as you know, in the thoroughbred industry, a lot of people who work in the breeding industry would prefer to feed the horses rather than themselves. So the care and attention is very strong, but certainly it's echoed, not just here in Australia, but echoed around the world. And, good things are going to come out of this, and I think it's a very positive aspect, and probably something which maybe been overshadowed for a little while, but I think it's now certainly in the forefront, and it's paramount that we look after all participants, of course, animal welfare, and also with the welfare of people who work in our industry.
Adam, thanks for joining us on the program this morning. Lovely to catch up. Have a great Christmas.
Thanks for that, Joe, and happy Christmas to all your listeners.
The award-winning Living Legends will be one of the beneficiaries of $1 million equine wellbeing kickstart contribution from the Victoria Racing Club. Andrew Clark from Living Legends, our final guest on the program this morning. How are you, Andrew?
Yes, very good. Thanks, Joe.
This is all good news.
Oh, look, it's wonderful news. Really big boost for us, and consolidates our position and, you know, funding for the next 3 years. It's a marvellous outcome for us.
Yes, part of the $1 million equine wellbeing fund announced by the Victoria Racing Club for new projects that will begin immediately at the retirement home for racehorses Living Legends, which recently won, congratulations by the way, the People's Choice Award, Andrew, for the best tourism experience in Victoria.
Yeah, that was, it was a wonderful outcome. It sort of felt like we won the Melbourne Cup of Tourism, really. Joe, we were went along to the Tourism Awards. There's 800 people in the room and it's, you know, all of the big tourism groups are there and they've got sort of marketing departments there and all of the rest. And, yeah, we were absolutely thrilled to win that. And I think, you know, just we're talking about it later and, you know, you just... that experience with the horses. People just love getting up close and personal with the horses. And I think, you know, that's what came through at the end of the day, really. We've got the wonderful homestead and the gardens and Annie's brilliant sconce, etc. But it's being able to get up close and meet and mingle with the horses that means so much.
Indeed, it is a wonderful experience and it's very satisfying, I know myself, to see people come out to visit Living Legends and the horses and the satisfaction and joy they get out of getting up close and personal with some of those horses, the likes of Might and Power and Efficient. It's really fulfilling to see that.
Absolutely. You know, it's the sort of legends and heroes of the racing, isn't it? And that's what people really relate to the cup winners or a special horse that to them maybe it's won a particular race or there's some family link. And you know, we see the same taking the horses out, but then we have the people, sort of, you know, the bucket list people who come and they have a particular horse that they want to see. You know, a diagnosis perhaps of terminal cancer, and you know, it's when everything else is peeled away, that's when you find out what matters the most to people. And that's one of the ways to really focus you on how important horses are for people.
So, deservedly, Living Legends is getting fantastic support now from the Victoria Racing Club. And in addition to that $1 million, there's a further amount of funding over the next 3 years that will go towards Living Legends to create what will be known as a Legends area at Flemington on race day. So you're taking Living Legends to a major race course, which is also important, and then an opportunity for the industry to really showcase more of its past champions to the public.
Yeah, and that's right. I had a walk around yesterday with Lee Jordan and just coming, looking at some of the early ideas, but it's to have more information on horses, to have the people be able to get up even, you know, closer and to the horses, and bring in some of the different off-the-track horses. And some of our horses are being ridden now, as you know, and it's to really enhance that experience and learn more about horses. So it'll be, you know, really a big push forward in getting that connection between people and horses and the opportunity to learn more about horses. And, you know, one of the things we've seen in the last couple of years is just how, you know, fascinated people are to see horses under saddle, you know, with the gear on, etc. You know, got that with the cleaner now. He's just a superstar at the farm shed. He jumps on, walks him down around the garden, and we've got visitors coming and they'll be there patting him and giving him a carrot, and he's under saddle. And you sort of forget that a lot of people don't get that opportunity to see horses up close when they're being ridden. So I think that, you know, what the Victoria Racing Club's doing is just marvellous, and they've certainly been, you know, wonderful supporters of ours over the years.
I have. So that, what will be known as on-course hub at Flemington, will be designed, Andrew, to house two horses from Living Legends on Flemington race days on a regular basis. And there's also going to be the capacity to feature a former racehorse that's embarked on a new career via the off-the-track program.
Absolutely. And to have some of the people involved who are training these horses, that'll really enhance the experience of you know, getting up close to the horses, but learning more about the horses and seeing what horses are capable in their life after racing careers, really.
And this doesn't necessarily relate directly to Living Legends, but in a way it does longer term, because it will enhance the welfare management practices around potential horses that end up in your care. But the VRC is also going to fund upgrades to facilities to aid horses in immediate post-race recovery. So they'll install new cooling aids into the race day horse tunnel that connects the horse stalls and the mounting yard. And that investment comes on top of recent initiatives that include the provision of ice boots for all horses to use post-race, demister fans in the horse stalls, and additional staff to help with the hosing down of horses in the mounting yard straight after the race. So they're really on the front foot, the VRC. It's great to see.
It's terrific. And it's a real, you know, hive of activity. They're focusing very much on the welfare of the horses during their careers and, you know, after their careers as well. And they're both the sort of key issues around equine welfare and improving the wellbeing of all horses.
And you'll have, or already have, two new additions to the Living Legends roster of stars?
Yeah, very excited to have Almand and Faulkner arrive from Macedon Lodge. We've got another cup winner in Almand and lovely, lovely grey Faulkner. Very tractable horse. I think a little bit of work to do with Almand, and still he's come as he's as fit as a trout, and he still thinks he's very much a racehorse. But, you know, it doesn't take them very long to settle into the routine that we have the visitors through the day, but especially at 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock for the tours, and he's really learned that people come with carrots and settled in really, really well. And I think it's those, the cup winners are the ones that are deep in the Australian heritage, really. It's just really something very special, and it's great also to have Kieran McAvoy. We've now got two of his three Melbourne Cup winners out there, so that's another little bonus for us. And Kieran and his family, regular visitors to see Brew, well, now they'll be seeing Brew and Almandon, which is pretty special as well.
And Andrew, coming into the Christmas New Year period, what will the opening hours of Living Legends be?
We stay open. The only day we're closed all year is Christmas Day. Horses get extra carrots on Christmas Day, but we're open right through the holiday season. And if people are looking for that last minute Christmas gift, something a really special experience, we do the gift certificates as well. So they can pop online and or give us a call, and we can get the gift certificates out still in plenty of time for Christmas.
Andrew, thanks for joining us on the program this morning, and congratulations on receiving that big financial shot in the arm. It's well deserved.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you.
That's Andrew Clark from Living Legends, our final guest on Talking Horses this week. Hope you enjoyed the program. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.